anointing pours forth as wine. Your anointing pours forth as wine. Filling and dwelling this heart.
Sing it again.
Your anointing pours forth as wine. Your anointing pours forth as wine.
Come and greet the congregation and introduce Dad.
Absolutely. Good morning. Excuse me. What an honor to be here with you this morning, and what an unexpected surprise to be able to introduce my father. What do you say? There's so much to say. But, you know, I think what I will share with you all, I think many of you, of course, have had the opportunity to hear him before and to visit with him. I know he speaks very highly of everyone here and enjoys his time here. But last night at dinner, we had the opportunity to reminisce. And there was something in our conversation. We were not at Chili's, Pastor, but good fellowship does happen at other places. in the course of the conversation, the reality of who my father is today versus who he was even as I was growing up, and the progression of one who is willing to say that even at my age, there's more for me to do, there's more for me to learn, and a willingness to grow and adapt with a father in that journey, as we all do. I think that was something last night that really struck out at me, is that, in fact, he even said that his wife, Deborah, had commented that the man I'm married to today is not the man that I married 5 years ago. And I think that speaks highly, because in a tradition, and being the same is something that often handicaps us from what the Lord is doing, because we know that the Lord works in times and seasons. And when we plant our feet and we refuse to recognize that and to enter into that new season, that's where things can really go awry. And that was a nature or a part of our conversation last night, is the ability to recognize in our life when God is transitioning us from one place to another, from one season to the next, and the willingness and the courage that it takes in our own life to be able to recognize that and walk with the Father. Because oftentimes the places that he's leading us are unfamiliar to us. They don't look the way the past season did. And it takes great courage in us to be able to step out in faith. And that's something that I can say that my father has done time and time again, that willingness to do that. And it speaks volumes to me, and it's helped me in my own life be able to not be fearful of what's coming or fearful of that next season, but embrace it, knowing that when I hear the Father speak and when I hear the Father say, now is the time to transition, now is the time to enter into a new season, I can do so with hope and excitement, knowing that what the Lord has for me is better in that place than it was in the last.
Yeah.
And so,
amen.
I just want to honor my father in that. I could share many stories and say many things, but that's really what spoke to me last night, and so that's what I'll leave you with. And Dad, would you come?
It is a great thing when your son becomes your peer, isn't it? Wow. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me. I am more dressed up than you are accustomed to seeing me. Although I wear coats many times, you do not wear ties. In fact, I don't remember the last time I wore a tie. Thanks, Richard, for good worship. This is the second Sunday of celebrating 36 years of amazing breakthrough in ministry. And a lot of the breakthroughs that you're going to enjoy really haven't even been fulfilled yet. So I wanted to dress up today to honor Pastor Jim and Lou. They are amazing people. And to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we will be dressed in robes of righteousness when we arrive in heaven. Sometimes nicer clothing is appropriate. We are quickly moving toward casual wear in America, and I sign on 100% to that. I wish I had a lot of money back on my expensive suits I picked up overseas years and years and years ago. That they're gone because they'll never fit me again. Not to mention they're not... I'm going to have to put some glasses on. I want to introduce as well, Deborah's not here. She had to go back because of business responsibilities. She's watching by streaming today. Kind of interesting to do that. Hi, Deb. Good to see you. Also, Brandon's wife, Kate, is here. A lot of people don't know the story, but I came to Jesus Christ at age 15 at a church youth luau. I don't know why churches try to act like they're Polynesian. It never works. But I actually almost went to blows with her father, who was trying to witness to me, and I was in my antagonistic, well, let's find something to argue about mood. We became very best friends when I came to Christ. In the early 70s, I traveled doing Jesus rallies. Everybody did. And he was with me all the time. And so in a missions plan over a summer of 2000, Brandon and Kate met. She is the daughter of my best friend from high school. And I have my lovely granddaughter, Kyra, here, who is very shy. And we have an extended family member here, Kaylee, who I haven't seen since she's 5 years old. And she's here with us. It's great to be together. This has been a phenomenal week. There's no way to even capture the reality of it. And by tonight, I think you're going to understand some things that are fundamental to what House of the Lord. How many know it's bold to call your church the House of the Lord? Is nobody else the House of the Lord? Is this the only house whereby God exists? No, it's not. Thank you, Richard. It's not a presumption on Pastor Jim's part. It's a declaration that he won't live anywhere but where the Lord dwells. And it's a phenomenal thing. And I love everything everyone did this week. But I'm a pastor by experience. And turning things into activity is what it's all about. Theory means nothing to me. Great sounding words, which we heard some of the greatest preaching. Morrow, as you know, is a dear friend of mine, and I texted him a couple times this week that he had waxed elephants more than once. Great phrases. That's a kind of a play on the word wax eloquent. And had covered some amazing things. And he spoke on Wednesday night in conclusion about the time of the Lord. How many remember his discussion on the time of the Lord? Well, I was awakened very early on Thursday morning. My wife wasn't there, and I sleep differently when she's not there anyway. And he gave me some things to share with you today. So I'm not here today to give you one more great appreciation, although that could go on for weeks. We could talk about Jim and Lou until the cows come home. They'll be declaring what they've done in obedience many, many eons from now in eternity, because there will be great celebration for whoever's faithful. The amazing thing about Pastor Jim is he's faithful with a good attitude. How many met people, they're faithful, but they are grump city. I'm faithful. I'm going to make it. I don't care to have that in my life. And there's rarely been a conversation with Pastor Jim and or Lou that has been absolutely fundamentally a lot of fun. It's been my privilege to be here. I'm in a unique position because although Bill and Renee have been here many times, and they have lived here. I've lived here the last 6 years. And I never intended to leave Austin. I came to plant, grow, and be accountable for what we've done. Only by a sheer demonstration of God's surprise am I living in a place called Nevada. So I'm a part of you. I am a part of what this is. And I have journeyed with your shepherd, and I think I am, in great humility, qualified to address a couple things today. So how am I going to let me be family and address some radical things about this house? So 2 Timothy chapter 1. Remember, Timothy is the pastor of Ephesus here. He's 19 years old. He's pastoring a flock of about 1,500, and he got to witness Demetrius trying to kill Paul. Tell me some of the things that are that become riveted in our soul become the foundation for the way we operate. So this is a letter to a local church, and I love the New Testament because it's really mostly letters to people doing things. And in verse 5 it says, "When I call to remember, it's the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that also is in you. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of hands." Hang on. I should never have left the text for a moment. Which is in you by the putting on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I have two things to do today. First of all, I'm going to release a word over you. I'm not a prophet. I'm a local pastor. I'm now pastoring again. And Jim, that was really one of Jim's compelling prayer sequences when I knew him. He knew I was called to pastor, offered to help me start a fellowship here. And God never released me to that. And number two, tonight's going to be about impartation. We don't need another meeting, people of God. We don't need one more meeting. You're tired. It's been a long week. But I cannot emphasize enough how significantly important what we're going to follow through is. In fact, Jim and I, Pastor Jim, forgive me. I know you call him Pastor, and sometimes he's just my friend. Pastor Jim and I were texting back and forth, and I wanted to make sure he wanted to do tonight because I would release him if he didn't want to do another service. Because we are a well-educated generation of believers. We don't need another word because we've heard as much through television, radio, DVD, and otherwise than any generation's ever heard. They waited weeks for letters like this. We get them in 2 minutes. They waited months for the visiting preacher, and they wondered when Paul would come back. Pastor Jim calls, says, "We need you to come back. I'm there next week." It is a different day. So the risk of our generation is not the lack of information or understanding, but the capacity to employ it in the strategy of God in this timing. I want to first of all talk about a church like you. There's a church called Ephesus, and if you get in the book of Revelation, you start talking about the book of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus. There are things they weren't doing well. I'm not here to talk about what you're not doing well. In fact, I really don't know what's not going well here. So I'm categorically not here to follow the pattern of Revelation chapter 2. What I am going to do is reference Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul says, "I thank God for the faith that is in you." Interesting word, the word faith. It's the word pistis. And the word pistis has a very extreme, I don't have the Hebrew word here, and I should dig it out. Because, you know, the New Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. It was not written in Greek. And one of the failures of Greek hermeneutics, how many know what hermeneutics means? Neither do I, but it's a great word. No, hermeneutics means the bringing the accurate understanding of something to light. And so Greeks, the Hebrews had 6 levels of categories of hermeneutics. And if you missed one of those levels, it was not a real word. The Greeks believed that if you got a quarter of it right, it was right. How many know that's not a good percentage? You know what? I love you quarter of the time. That ain't going to work. I don't lie a quarter of the time. It's not good. And so some of our words and translations are not accurate, not good. And I'm not here to pick apart the Greek New Testament. All I do know is the word is active and living, sharper than a two-edged sword. And the more accurate it is in our understanding, the greater freedom we receive. But the word pieces in the Greek, and I don't have the Hebrew word, means to be able to put your weight upon. Meaning, most of this house, individually and corporately, have this remarkable capacity to believe what God says and put the weight of their lives and their future in the hands of what God said. You're good at that. You're generous. You're joyful. You're laughter. I've never seen a workforce that works more deliberately, not for Pastor Jim in some heinous hierarchy of control. Well, that's a pretty good phrase. But an absolute reckless abandon that you believe God told you to do it. That's faith. Because of the fact that Pastor Jim is a what I call an apostlepreneur, that he thrives in ministry and he thrives in business. You know, pastor doesn't need your income to thrive. Your donations don't make his life. And that's the kind of leader you want. The kind of leader that knows how to handle money, knows how to handle life, knows how to... One time a man came into my office with his wife, and in the middle of my what we called counseling, he began to strangle her. Pretty good for a 30-year-old pastor, kind of a... My first year at Bethel Church brought things you could not imagine would cross the path of any normal person. So I did what every man would do. I grabbed him by the bat nap of the neck and threw him out the door, hitting his head on the way out. Was that the right thing to do? Sure felt good. What I will tell you is, I'm telling you that story because it's not whether I did right or wrong, but something had to be done. Your pastor does what has to be done in remarkable capacity and understanding and wiser than I will ever be. So you're known around the world for your faith. Would you just put your hand on your heart? Would you please? Say, Father, thank you that you're growing faith in me. And I grant the Holy Spirit full permission to grow that faith in me. In Jesus' name. The other thing he says, I thank God for your well-known faith and as well your love for the saints. You know, there are a lot of times when I don't know what to do, I say, Father, what are we supposed to be like? And I return to Paul's simplistic gesture of understanding, faith and love. A friend of mine, Gaylord Enns, wrote a book called The Love Revolution. It's taken off all over the world. But he's taken the book of 1 John and really reduced a lot of this chaotic understanding about love to simply, we're not supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. A new commandment I give you that you love one another as I have loved you. It's gripping people. The real demonstration of love is not our ability to understand it or assent to it, but to act it out. So as I was awakened early this morning, which is my capacity. You'd be blown away by how early Deborah and I get up every day. My kids have never loved that about me. There are things they love about me. Getting up early has not been one of them. And he woke me up, and I had this really visit of the Holy Spirit. Well, he just came into the room. By the way, I believe he didn't really come in the room. I believe he comes out of us. That's just a way to describe it. I'm not the least bit interested in having the Holy Spirit follow me, although it's a beautiful song. It's the rivers of the Spirit getting out of us that we desperately need in our day. It's all in you. The prophetic word of 2 Kings 4 and the widow is, what do you have in the house? Sometimes we're so busy searching for what we don't have, we miss what's already in the house. I might get to meddling here a little bit today. So I want to speak over to you that you're very much like the most famous church of the New Testament. The church that, although it had its problems, did it better than anybody else. The book of Ephesus. And Paul doesn't talk about their giving. He doesn't, although you do that well, he wasn't talking about their outreach, because sometimes people protested them. But their faith in God and their love for the body of Christ. With that in mind, in reviewing what we're talking about in our thing, Paul says to Timothy, stir up. Everybody say, stir up.
Stir up.
I've come today to do some stirring up. Are you ready? Because I'm family. I lived here. I've been in this building more times in 3 years than though your guests have been for many, many years, although pastor brings his guests many. What are we stirring up? I have three words over you today that I want you to have. And I would encourage you to write them down, because I'm going to blog about you and I'm going to blog and check in on you. Actually, I don't blog. I'm not on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn without my picture. I get weary of social media. I get weary of everybody knowing my business. I get weary of the gossip. And let me tell you, although I believe that we should preach in every venue, some of the preaching going on Facebook really should be banned. It's dumb stuff. I was in a restaurant this week, as I have been all week. My wife went home to our chickens not getting the right kind of water, and they'd gone cannibal. We figured out why they're eating each other. They need liquid. But she fixed it yesterday. They're all back to normal. Glad to see her, because evidently they don't feel the love from me. You know, they're named. Stir fry. Barbecue. Deep fried. When they're done laying, they go to go back into the kingdom of God through me. What are we stirring up today, very briefly? Number one, we're not here to stir gossip. You know what's great about this church is you just don't badmouth anybody. And it's not like you think you're going to go to hell if you badmouth. You just decided that no good word out of your mouth that proceeds ought to not go out. Not here to stir up strife. Quite honestly, although we wonder what the body of Christ is doing and how it's going, you've had this remarkable ability to not focus on what ought not to be focused on. You know, I met with some of your people. Yes, it's been a busy week, and some of your worship people. And there is genuinely, unequivocally, a joy unspeakable and full of glory in this house. So with that in mind, what am I stirring up? Three things. First of all, the reason Mario Murillo was brought here this week is because he's an evangelist. And he's the greatest culturally relevant communicator I've ever known. He seems to cut through the layers of cultural issues. In his own remarkable, he's a brilliant thinker, and I'm not here to talk about Mario. Mario and I'll have a talk next week about. We'll debrief together. We live 5 minutes from each other, and our wives make sure we get together regularly because they like it. How many know the old rule? If your wives like each other, you might have a relationship. I'm here to stir up a heart for the harvest. Mario was here not to win souls, but to reignite the most fundamental thing, and I talked about in the mornings, when Jesus rose in Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, "Go therefore, preach the gospel, make disciples." I call it, from my Trekkie days with my son, the prime directive. Let me tell you something. You can build wells in Kenya, and so you ought to. You can send money in many different ways, but the greatest call is to win souls. What I felt as I woke up this morning is God was going to compel you into a remarkable harvest. Look at me. Let me tell you about what harvest is really like because I've lived it. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making things up. I have lived harvest. And what's going to happen is people are going to start coming to Christ, and it's going to be wonderfully annoying to you because the freshly born again show up early and they take your seats. They take your parking spots. They're always praying in tongues in uncomfortable circumstances. They'll witness on the streets, they'll assault darkness, and they'll go, "Why have you gone sullen?" I'm ready for their children that aren't serving the Lord to come to Jesus Christ. I am so ready for the recapture of our family units for the kingdom of God. I am so ready for every extended family member I've ever known to show up. And I've had family I did not know show up. 2001, a man walked into my church and said, "Hello, I'm your brother." "Okay." And he looked just like my dad. My family are 6'8" and round-faced. I look more like the Lawrences. And I'm the run of the family because my mom was 5'5". So my dad 6'8", my mom 5', cut it right in half for me. And I know, in fact, my son, quite honestly, later on, really pushed me. Why didn't I give him more time? I wanted a DNA thing, you know. I didn't know what to do with that. They didn't do DNA at that point. What I'm saying is you're going to get ready at the remarkable people that are going to connect to you that are coming to Jesus Christ. Extended family, extended office work. Be ready for extreme inconvenience and a joy that will irritate you if you don't want to be joyful. Because those who come out of darkness love a great light. Sometimes we forgot what we came out of. I know what a mess I was when Jesus Christ found me. And by the way, I did not find him. He found me. I wasn't looking for him, didn't want to know him. I was comfortable thinking I was evolved from some sort of scientific solution to the disaster that the human race can become. But it's happening. It's begun. Here, July begins the march. 36th anniversary is significant. I was led to Isaiah chapter 36 this week, and I didn't really develop it with Pastor, but there is, in that point, Israel's on the verge of great disaster, and God earmarks the seasons to completion. And he says, in the third year, and the Holy Spirit spoke up to me and said, you are in the third year of a prophetic promise to begin to flow out. So it's not whether Mara Marilla gives an altar call or not. It's not even whether Pastor gives an altar call. It's whether you're on alert and focused and attentive to the work of God to see when the doors open up. How many are ready for a harvest of souls? How many are ready for a harvest that absolutely forces you to have to build a building and get new chairs and maybe quadruple the worship team where you have always had solos will not always get the solos? We like comfortable religion, quite honestly. We like our place. We like the fact that we have the same seat every week and nobody's going to invade that. Let me tell you, I had some great seasoned saints of God who absolutely were mad when hundreds came to Jesus Christ. Why? You don't get your seat. Why? Young Christians don't have cultural Christian etiquette yet. And they do whatever they're going to do to get what they need when they need it, how they need it. And they'll outgive you. They'll outshout you. And they'll go, what's wrong with you? You ready for that, people of God? Amen. By the way, I saw Asians in this house. I saw Native Americans. And I know there's some here already. I am somehow Native American. But I met a brother I didn't know, so I'm a lot of things I didn't know I was. Good thing my dad was gone before that, isn't it? He was already in heaven, praise God. Because I'm not sure he wanted me to know. So I'm here to declare a harvest over this house. Tonight, we're going to be praying for an anointing for evangelism. Tonight, the second thing I'm going to bring up is I believe, you know, everybody's been focused, point number two, and I do have 3 points, and you'll hear them all. Point number one, stir up harvest of evangelism, a spirit of soul winning. Bethel Church became a phenomenal soul winning enterprise, unmonitored or uncontrolled by me. And it wasn't the four spiritual laws and having some people get up on the platform and portray heaven and hell so people get saved out of fear of frying to death. No, they're coming to the Lord because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and he's deserves every bit of your adoration, your love. When they find out how to love God, they break a lot of other loves off. Wow, that was pretty good. The second is there's a real focus on September for a lot of reasons. There's a belief that we're ending a 4 blood moon season. You know how many people have sold everything over 4 blood moons? Oh my goodness, it's as bad as Y2K. People panicking that there's going to be riot in the streets. There have been times in Bible history that things were chaotic. Exodus chapter 9, 10, 11. Things were not good in the land of Egypt, but they were in the land of Goshen. And although we don't have a specific territory we occupy, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Goshen personifies a spirit and a mindset and a reality that says that we're the answer to the problem, not a part of the problem. That when there's nowhere else to go, you can run to the kingdom of God. So I believe that in July, and I can confirm this in my own life, there is a release of manifest wealth in this house. Okay, it's not about money so you can go on vacation, although I believe in that. It's not about so you can have a mansion, although I hope you have one. But it's about one of the mistakes we've made in talk about the transfer of wealth. Why would a man like me talk about the transfer of wealth when they're saying we're on the bubble of another economic collapse, the housing market is reinventing itself only to be like it was before? If you want to talk about that, I certainly can talk about that later. But why? Because whenever man creates disaster of his own making, whenever man, especially in his dubious state, wants to bring down, I don't know why everybody wants to bring America down. We ain't pretty, but we're like Noah's Ark. There's a lot of stink aboard, but we are the best thing afloat. And what makes us unique is the dynamic diversity of us. The way we disagree is a good disagreement. The way we don't see culture and all those things is what makes us unique. We truly are still the melty pot. Canada is now claiming it's a melty pot. They may be, but they copied us. Do I believe America is wonderful? Do I believe one political person made us who we are? I don't. But everybody's been contributing. It's a collective effort where we are today. We didn't get here because of one person's stupidity. We're not going to get out by one man's brilliance. Are you with me? We are the answer. The transfer of wealth. It's interesting. Wouldn't it be just like God? Let's say there is... I'm sorry, when I hear four blood moon, I keep hearing, I hear bad moon arise. It's just kind of rolling up in me. Pastor Jim is a great influence on my musical tastes. Isn't it wonderful that a song written by Paul McCartney could be rewritten by Jim Lillard and sang with R&B? That had a great R&B move to it, didn't it? That was just a lot of fun. I used to not believe that music could be fun, but I do now. Wouldn't it be just like the Father that in preparation for some turbulent times to position the body of Christ to make a difference? And you're givers. If your hoarders were in trouble, but this is not a hoarding community. I've lived with hoarders. Oh my God, it's devastating. I had a lady that was so afraid of being poor, she collected fruit and vegetables for weeks. There goes my notes. You're givers. Why could God trust you with his money? Because you know it ain't yours. Why could God empower you to do some remarkable things? I wrote the book, Shift the Transfer of Wealth, in 2012, and he woke me up this morning again to say, first of all, you didn't understand how it was going to happen. It's great to theorize, project to the future, but it's getting the understanding that really makes a difference. But secondly, my people weren't ready for it. My people weren't ready to give as much away. We run a thing right now called 1090 Coalition, and it's a bunch of young entrepreneurs, and it's a great-sounding name, and we can all wax elephant with our ideas. But there's a group of entrepreneurs that are preparing to grow well so they can give 90% of it away. Now, not everybody's called to 90%, but it sure worked for Milton Hershey. We're still eating his proceeds, still chomping on their candy. How would you like to have your candy chopped on for another 90 years? Generosity, kindness, caring. So I want you to prepare. I want you to get your heart ready to say, Father, I'm open to creative ways that you would. Some are going to get inheritances. That's a lovely thing. Some are going to get ideas that start small and grow and gain momentum and really change the economy. The only thing we marvel about Facebook, and there's not much to marvel, quite honestly, it's all marketing now. It's a marketplace. And some guy wanted to preach his false eschatology and that sort of thing and attack women preaching and all that stuff. I'm so sick of men attacking women preaching on Facebook. Are you so bored that you can't let a woman speak into your life? I'm sorry your mother beat you, but that doesn't make every woman bad. And I've been beat, I understand. That wasn't meant to be funny, but we need to understand God's about ready. The thing we like about Facebook is it's made billions in 5 years. The good ideas don't belong to the kingdom of darkness. They belong to us. We've just failed to. We have to have the right operating system, the right operating agreement, and a heart for worship, generosity. You know, it says in Acts chapter 4 that everything they got, they lay at the apostles' feet. That isn't about poverty. They were so glad for their inheritance in heaven, they couldn't wait to give it away. And you got to have it to give it away. So some rich people came to Christ, didn't they? You don't give away land if you got no land. Are you ready for the release of wealth? Are you ready to have that wealth make a difference in people's lives? And to fund the kingdom, and to fund the ministries, and to fund life, and have some fun? Okay, here's the one you're going to have a tough time hearing. Are you ready to hear a little harder word? Ready for one word? God is releasing this house in the year 19, in the year 36 of this ministry, leadership in the city. Leadership in the city. Now let's talk about why you can't be leaders. A, you're not the largest church in the city. We judge leadership by what we perceive success to be, right? And in the world of ecclesia, you're proven by how many people go to your church and how much money shows up on Sundays. And that is rarely God's choosing. I mean, did God bless them? Sure they did. In fact, I had a guy come to me when we were exploding in Reading and said, you know, if you'll tone your message down, you'll be 10,000. Like, I'm going to do that. I've dated witches before I came to Christ. I've been with the weirdos. I'm not toning down my message. And thank you, Pastor Jim, for telling pastors to finally be courageous. At least the Kenya pastors. You know, when Kenyan pastors make a decision, they could lose their life. We're trying to wonder if we're going to lose our bank accounts. I guarantee if we really get our courage up, Gila, what they call in Hebrew, smaltz. Actually, Yiddish, forgive me. Little New York there. There'll be more money than we can ever handle. You know why William Randolph Hearst financed Billy Graham in the early days and sent messages in every one of his newspapers? Because the first preacher you heard that had the guts to say the truth. He liked his guts. Did he get saved? I doubt it. But he liked courage. Let me tell you, no one's cared about your message. Where's the courage? Where's the strength? Leadership of the city. There's a guy named David in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And he's just learned how to play his harp and kill bears and lions and protect the sheep. In fact, he's so discounted that when Samuel comes to choose the leader, he's not even in the lineup. Doesn't God have a great sense of humor? Not even in the lineup. You ever felt sometimes like God spoke a word to you, and every time someone prepares to fulfill that word, you're not even in the lineup? And he picks David. David becomes the greatest king in the history of mankind. History. They became a world power, a world economic presence, all under a guy that spent his summers in the field smelling like sheep. Let me tell you why this church is qualified to lead the city. Number one, it doesn't care who gets the credit. I really love House of the Lord. And one of the things I love about it is everybody serves, everybody loves, everybody works, and it's really not about who are we, but who is he. That was in my notes, by the way, so that's an extra for you. Number two, you've been groomed for 36 years on the Word of God. I had a remarkable accident in the year 1971. I was riding my motorcycle, and I was singing praises to God, which is no excuse for speeding. I was on my motorcycle, and coming from Arcadia, where I lived, to Glendora, where I went to school, because after I came to the Lord, I went to live with my grandparents, but I stayed in the same school, so I drove 20 miles to school every day. I hit a right-angle turn in a rather foggy morning at 45 miles an hour. Bike goes down, I'm sliding, and it's a remarkable story. I shared it the other day. But I did not have, you know, when you're in a crisis moment, you can only speak what's in you? Do how many remember the Canary Island 747 collision in 1977? You know, we have this weird theory that when people in crisis, they call out to God. No, they speak out what's in them. One of the guys that was saved that day talked about the incredible way people cursed God when they were dying and blamed everybody else. Their eyes didn't flash before them. They didn't get their life right. They just said what was ever in them. You know why you're ready to lead this city? Because the Word is deeply in you. So as I'm riding along and I go skidding on, how many know that when you're in a crisis moment, you don't have a lot of time to think about what to say? And if you're full of cuss words, you're going to say, oh. If you're full of bitterness, you're going to attack. They should have fixed this highway. All I had the chance to say was the name Jesus. And after we came to a stop, and you know, I wake up, I black out, and I wake up, I'm running down the street, and my motorcycle is sliding with sparks next to me. Kind of fun, huh? Interestingly, my pants were ripped, but my leg was not injured. Anyway, this guy in this 1969 wooded station wagon stops, and he's pale as a sheet. He says, do you know what I just witnessed? I said, I really don't. I was in front of you. You know, I don't know. He says, something grabbed you by the back of your coat. I was wearing a long coat that day, kind of a cool 70s thing. And it picked you up, elevated you, and put you on your feet. You know why God can trust you with the miracles that are about to come? Why he can trust you with remarkable creative? How many are ready for creative stuff? Do I like the fact that people's hearts return to normal beating? Sure, I do. Do I like the fact that people with arthritic conditions no longer have arthritis? All valuable. But what really begins to capture attention, and there are demons battling levels of freedom and battling levels of liberty. I'm ready for some legs to grow out of stumps. I'm ready for not eyes to be healed, but eyes put where there were no eyes. Are you ready for that? I'm ready. You know, the stuff you don't dare even blog about because it's too sacred. You don't celebrate yourself when God gets that mighty and glorious. You just live it. What's going on in your house? You know, I'm not going to talk, but come on, it's true. God's about to position Austin to be a center revival to the nations. And House of the Lord is going to lead the way. You know why? Because you'll empower everybody. You'll bless everybody. You'll work with everybody. You don't care. In fact, the name of the House of the Lord is not going to be personified as you better follow them. But hey, there's this group. And they just seem to know what God is doing and how to help you do what God is doing. So three things in conclusion. I did give three. I'm going to restate them. Number one, get ready for a harvest. Prepare. I'm going to impart over you today and tonight. I'm going to lay hands. I know you say, well, don't lay hands on people suddenly. Well, this ain't suddenly. I know you. Right? I've been here a few times. I'm not a guest speaker looking for an offering. And they have a right to. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not a guest speaker. I'm not in the itinerant world anymore where if I don't do well, I don't get another week. I'm here because I'm that man's friend and I love you. And so tonight, if you want to come and be laid hands on, yeah, will you get healed? Probably. Will someone write you a check tonight? Maybe. But there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a release of finances. I can't tell you, and Jim texts me every day. How many get, I know everybody doesn't get Pastor Jim's text, but they're amazing every day. It's that they're so deep you can't always answer them. You know what I'm saying? That guy's deep waters. He's not a shallow brook hoping to make it to the ocean. He's a roaring river of the depth of God. And you know why he's that way? Because he may be the head but lose the neck that turns the head. Okay, stay with me on this. We're almost done. I'm almost done, believe it or not. Because you guys need to have an afternoon off because we're gonna work tonight. A release of amazing wealth. I'm living it right now. God began to speak over us that July 1, a shift was coming. When God shifts, it doesn't just kind of show up. It just goes and blows. That wasn't a very good river, but it really, or that was not a mighty rushing wind, but it was my version of it. Sound more like a squealing pig, didn't it? But it's all right. It's okay. I love you, Kyra. I love my dog, granddaughter. Are you ready to lead the city? Forgive me, but this church is pregnant with leadership. In fact, if God doesn't use you to change the city, I'm going to be a little upset with God because the leadership, the character of leadership in this city, in this church, in this house, is some of the finest I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've lived this thing for 43 years now. In fact, someone said, man, Pastor, last time you were dark-haired. I was. That's partly because I had dark hair. The other part was my wife was great at darkening it. Done with that. Actually, I didn't want to really grow gray. Can I be honest for a minute, then we'll close? Every time you put the stuff on me, I broke out in boils. That's a clear sign you probably ought not do that anymore. You know, so hello! Oozing boils. Do you like my hair color? Stand up with me if you would. Thank you for, in an exhaustive, obedient week, you got one more day to let a friend of your pastor speak on. Did you get the word today?
Yes.
I want you to, in casual conversation over dinner, not talk about the Cowboys. I don't care if it's their Super Bowl year or not, actually. In fact, people that know me know sports paid for my college. I only gave up sports because I was called to preaching. I won't go into that. But it was fun to see a bunch of people wearing L.A. Dodger hats around here this week. I didn't know there were Dodger fans here. But what I found out about this group of people laying in the quiet moments of the fourth, people say, why do we wake up from 3 to 6? Because there's a change into the guard. God's preparing for things. If he wakes you up at 3 o'clock, stay up for a little bit. He'll give you the sleeper, he'll give you the rest, or give you the attitude to endure it. This house is called to bring international revival. It already has. I'm not disclaiming or discounting what's going on. But you all know, and you've all felt for a long time, God, we have things to do we're not doing, and there's a level we're not at. God's releasing the level. Not because I'm your guest speaker, not because you had a great 36th anniversary, although 36 is crucial. I don't know why, because 3 plus 6 is 9. That's no number to value. But because of your leadership and your love for the Word. I was saved that day on a motorcycle because the only thing I do was cry out to Jesus. This group cries out like I've never, ever known. So I'd like you to lift your hands in the air with me for a minute. Okay, I'm tone deaf, but I'm going to lead this, and you know it. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power, the Holy Spirit, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. With eyes closed, this afternoon as you're having lunch and you're going home to take your naps, would you be kind to just say, Father, release it. Father, if I'm coming tonight, and I know not everybody can make it, I understand the dynamics of it. But I believe there's an impartation. I'm speaking as by permission of your leaders. But I believe I'm going to lay hand on a lot of people, new creative anointings, miracles. In fact, I talked to Pastor about it today. No, you're not getting my anointing. I could barely hang on to mine these days. You're getting something unique that belongs to you. You are wells of living water. Genesis talk, chapter 26. Isaac dug seven wells. House of the Lord is at the seventh well. Be'er Shavah, for the Lord has made room for us like never before. So with eyes closed, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, there's no time to waste. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of reckoning. God is calling you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Get ready for the greatest transfer, the most amazing life you could ever know. If you're here and you cannot say that I, Jesus Christ, is the Lord and Savior of my life, I encourage you now to raise your hand and let me pray for you. Now is your day. Anybody here say, I need Jesus Christ as Lord. I need the Lord in my life today. Secondly, how many have a lot of hopes and dreams? In fact, I have 90 prophetic words yet to be fulfilled. But I have hopes and dreams. You've been saying, Father, when is my time to begin to live out all of that? Would you lift your hand up? I'm ready, God. I got these abounding, residing promises. I put a demand on them now. God wants you to challenge him. He wants you to put a demand on it. Don't be like the king that when he could have delivered Israel, struck the ground three times like it was a vacation. The prophet said if he had struck the ground over and over and over again, it would have intensified the deliverance of the Lord. So we're going to strike hard tonight. We're going to pray hard. It's not going to be work. It's going to be really deliriously joyful. But some things inside of you are about ready to pop out, so you better open up for them. Some things in this house are going to pop out. The harvest is here. The release of wealth is here. Being able to help love and lead the Church of Jesus Christ in this city is the house of the Lord's inheritance, if it so chooses. Everybody lift your hands with me. I want you to pray in the Spirit with me for just a minute, would you? Sika ta da 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 pa pa ko ta da 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 pa ta ta. I'm here as a part of the house. I'm here as a friend of the house. I declare over you, this is the time. The time is now. says the Lord. There's some major reversals coming financially. Some debts going away in the next few days. Some release of resources are coming in the next few days. Unusual economic, financial miracles. Things that would stun Donald Trump is coming to this house. Things that would amaze the leadership of our nation in this day. Somebody look at me for just a minute. Go home and get your nap. You're tired. It's been a long week. Get your nap in. Drink whatever you drink to be alert. And don't come in at 7:20. I'm telling you, beat the door down and let God amaze you. You ready for God to amaze you, Pastor?